Well, welcome to After Hours, the abbreviated After Hours, but it is still an incredibly substantial After Hours, as you will experience with my first guest, the one and only Dave Samber. Dave has been a friend of mine for 20 years, 30 years.
We're growing old together.
Dave and I are growing old together. When I first met Dave, it was a relatively simple little operation called the Polo Cafe, which was a restaurant and also a bakery, and you made cookies. Mm-hmm. It's now a massive operation. We'll get into all that, but the Polo Cafe is among Chicago's finest, most interesting, most colorful, and most neighborhood places I have ever been, and it remains so. How long has it been around, Dave?
Wow, how kind, Rick. We opened the doors in August of 1985, so This is our 37th Christmas.
Jeez. In the heart of Beverly, in the heart of Bridgeport, which has changed remarkably. You were really a pioneer down there. You got sort of burned out on the real estate game on the north side.
Yeah.
And what drew you to Bridgeport?
Well, I just bought the building in 1984, and never thinking I was ever going to make my life there.
Yeah.
But things changed. Real estate got kind of tough when finances got high. And so I thought, well, I'd been involved with Monique's Cafe the previous year and decided that I would take that space and turn it into a new business. But rather than open a restaurant, I opened up a nuts and candy because a restaurant was just too hard. I didn't want to work that hard.
Well, what was that building originally?
Well, originally,
that's one of the things I think that inspired you.
Well, it did once I started on that direction. It was always a candy store. It was built in 1914. And the people who built it lived there and also ran the business. And it was candy and nuts and sort of, but it was next to the neighborhood picture show on the Polish side of Morgan Street. East of Morgan is Lithuanian. West is Polish. And I was on the west side. And the only reason they could even build there, because the man who built there was Lithuanian, but he married a Polish woman and got the blessing of the parents and the parish to have his business there. So they built the neighborhood theater called the Eagle Show.
Mm.
And dishes were given out in the late 30s and the 40s. Someone just said the other day, we had the great opportunity to host the Bosley Park Seniors.
Oh,
a great group of gals. They said our average age is 85.
Wow.
And so some of them remembered coming to the show, and one lady said that her aunt sent her especially to get a dish because that's how they built their dish sets, their regular dinnerware.
They gave
in those
away
days,
at the
right?
movie theater.
Right,
yeah.
They gave away.
Yeah.
And every show in the city had its own pattern of dishes. So we have dishes on display of the dishes that were given out at the Eagle Show.
You have a lot of things on display there. One of the hallmarks of the Polo Cafe. Give the address, Dave. It's on Morgan Street.
3322 South Morgan. We're two blocks west of Halsted and exactly 1 mile west of Sox Park.
Right. And near
off
where
of 35th Street.
Near where the Dailies once lived. The thing about it, you at one point, it got so imbued with the history of that neighborhood, because you could call Bridgeport the birthplace of mayors. You have at the entrance inside the Polo Cafe one of the great murals I've ever seen. What is that, Dave?
So when we opened up the candy store, I took some of the direction from Nuts on Clark.
Sure.
And I knew Estelle and Robert in those days, and you'd walk in and there'd be a chalkboard and they'd have all the things that they were selling by the pound and listed there. So we did the same thing. I got a 12-foot by 4-foot high regular green board, Chicago school chalkboard. And we started to put the different items, list them, how much they were. And as we started to add more and more items, we kept adding more things to the board, and the writing got smaller and smaller and smaller. Finally, one day I said, you know, get rid of this. I want people to look at the candy and the products rather than the prices.
Yeah.
So we started doing murals, and that board was the fourth board, and it was the time when, in 1986, Bridgeport celebrated sesquicentennial.
Right.
We did a Welcome to Bridgeport board, and I had been around enough to realize that not only was there great architecture in Bridgeport, but it was the people who made that neighborhood so special.
No question.
So in the one corner are the bosses, of the industrialists who gave jobs to all the people in the area from the stockyards. And in the other corner, it says the mayors, a little double entendre.
Yeah, okay.
And sure enough, when Rich was elected in 1989, we then made room for him as the fifth person from our neighborhood since 1933, when Ed Kelly was elected mayor, up to 2011. For all those years, mayor of Chicago came from our neighborhood, Bridgeport.
You were welcome to Bridgeport, too. I'm sure there were a few tough times where interloper, you know, what kind of restaurant is this? What kind of food do you serve?
No, they want to know, where did you come from?
Where did you come from? What planet did you come from?
North side. Why would you come from the north side to here?
Because
God wants me here.
Yes, you're a religious guy, too. From the very beginning, you had and still have what I consider a relatively sophisticated menu for what I think of as a great neighborhood joint.
Yeah, thanks.
That was always your notion.
Yeah, having been involved with Monique, with Nouvelle Cuisine and terrines and wonderful pâtés, that wasn't quite going to fly. Although you could take some of the normal things that we were used to and are accustomed to and make that twist to it.
Yeah.
So our mac and cheese would be wonderful mac and cheese, but it also has smoked gouda in addition to three other cheeses. So it's those kind of things that started to catch people's attention and certainly gave us an opportunity to show off at the Taste of Chicago, where we had a booth for 21 years.
What did you sell at Taste?
Oh, my gosh. But didn't we sell?
I know.
But every year, no matter what else we brought, we always had our garlic mozzarella cheese bread, which you could smell in Park Ridge. I mean, they'd come from all over for this garlic bread that we would make on the spot.
Yeah.
But I brought creme brulee, and I brought molletes, and I brought shark.
I remember shark.
Oh, my
gosh. Your shark.
The first year, I was a hero. The second year, I was going against nature.
Yeah, of course. Yes, everything gets more politically correct as we move on. Then, and you're going to be here all the way to a quarter, too, Dave, then what happened was you decided at some point to take over that movie theater you were just talking about. And it had been, let's say, it was once a movie theater and a gem of Bridgeport. Then it became like an auto repair joint.
Right. It was an auto body repair shop for 30 years before I got it.
Yeah.
It was an EPA nightmare.
I'll bet it was.
And
what made you decide to do that?
Well, we wanted to expand. Yeah. Every restaurateur wants more. But I also learned from some of the best in this town, and one of the things is don't spread yourself too thin. So to open up another Polo somewhere was really not the plan. But to expand on the same premises, use the same kitchen, same parking lot, now that made sense to me. So I was able to get the space. However, I couldn't get financing.
Yeah.
It took 4 years until the local bank was bought by I'll use names, by Peter Fasayas.
Sure.
Whose wife Paula established Paws. Exactly.
Yeah.
And Peter and I knew each other from real estate days earlier on in the 70s and 80s. So I went to see Peter one day and I said, Peter, welcome to Bridgeport. So nice to have you here. And he says, nice to be here, Dave. How much do you need? And I said, a little over $500,000. But Peter, it's worth it. They're building homes in Bridgeport that are worth more than that, and I have an income stream coming.
There's a lot going on in Bridgeport these days. I just wrote a story about the Romova Theater. You had a vision for Bridgeport that you shared kind of and imbued the Joe brothers, the two artists
My neighbors 2 doors away.
Who have really invested in the neighborhood.
Yes.
And the Old Eagle room is unbelievably beautiful, I got to tell you.
In its simplicity.
Yes, and the organ that you have up there.
A Rogers 360, magnificent 3-manual that cranks up on Sundays for our gospel brunch.
When are you having a gospel? Is it next Sunday?
So today was gospel brunch. Next Sunday is our 'twas the brunch 5 days before the night before Christmas. It's our annual tradition that we didn't have last year because everybody was shut down.
Of course.
So we've brought it back this year on a modified buffet basis. People have to have masks come to the buffet. We will dish out the food so people won't be handling utensils and spoons, whatever. But we are taking it by reservation, and the organist will be playing. I'll probably sing a few songs, but it won't be the menu of a gospel brunch. We'll have that the following Sunday. Sunday, which is the day after Christmas, the 26th.
Oh, how nice.
From 10 until 2 o'clock.
Yeah.
And it really is. It's when the recession started to hit at the end of 2008. We really cut the expense. We're a small operation.
Yeah,
so
sure.
We keep hands-on as much as we can. I cut the expenses as much as I could without sacrificing product and quality and staff.
Right.
My best, this best staff in the world is at Polo, believe me. And so I needed more income. Expenses were down. Now I needed more income. So that meant maybe opening on a Sunday where we otherwise were closed.
Yeah.
And I thought, if I'm going to do work on Sunday and give up going to church and
I'm going to sing.
I'm going to make it more meaningful than just slinging hash.
Good for you.
And so that's what we started. And we passed out hymnals. I found hymnals at a dumpster of a church that was throwing out their hymnals. And it turned out to have a lot of good songs in it. And we started singing and before we know it, we've now moved it to the Old Eagle Room every Sunday because it's so popular. And we get groups, you know, families will come in. And
did you have to, for a while, close during this?
Oh, sure. Everybody closed.
For how long?
We closed from March the 16th until, I don't even know when we opened, the following year sometime.
Wow.
Yeah,
wow.
It was almost a year.
And you were able to withstand that, though.
Well, we shifted to carry out,
yep.
Which we were not known for, so we had to come up with the right logistics packaging.
And the right kind of meals, too.
Well, the meals were about the same. It's just, how do I get this meal to the, get it home rather than out into the restaurant?
Sure.
So it took it tricky, but we have a very loyal base, wonderful customers.
That is true.
And we're sort of the only game around at that point.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
And we still have carry out. People are still not coming into the restaurant to eat.
Yeah, I know.
It's still tricky.
It's the tenor of the times.
Yeah, but on the other hand, the staff has stayed together, without them, I couldn't do what I'm doing. They're just tremendous.
And your brother helps out.
Martin, my brother Michael, just came in from Cleveland. He'll be here 10 days to get we'll bake about 28,000 cookies for our cookie trays this season.
Wow.
And get those out. So a lot of UPS goes out, and he's spent a whole career in shipping, so you couldn't ask for a better expert to be handling the shipping of the cookie trays and boxing them, making sure they get where they have to go.
Well, that's one thing, but I was in love with some of your older waitresses years ago who had been with you. From the very beginning.
Yeah, well,
only the older ones. The younger ones never cottoned up to me.
Well,
but it was an incredible crowd, and you do the majority of the cooking. I mean, you're
well,
the
in all
chef
honesty,
owner.
In honesty, I have help.
Well, of course,
So I'd have to say that I'm not going to retire from this. I don't want to die in my soup, but on the other hand, I'm not giving this up. This is and while I'm thinking about it, if I could just real quickly say a shout out, two really wonderful people were inducted, I know and have known for a long time, were inducted into the Culinary Hall of Fame in Chicago last week. And one of them is the executive vice president of the Illinois Restaurant Association, Mary Kay Bonoma. And the Bonomas are from the neighborhood, Bridgeport, through and through. I know their family, and you couldn't ask for a stronger Bridgeport, Chicago family. And then, of course, my colleague and dear friend and longtime friend and legendary chef Ina Pinckney.
And former guest on this very show.
Yeah, well,
show.
Sure, of course. Well, she's on everybody's show. She's the great
woman.
Celebrity.
Yeah, but
and
she's
a hard-working
person.
You know, and it's those kind of folks that I shared the path with along these many years, from Monique and Jackie Shen and you know, go right down the group. And then some of the great restaurateurs, Arnie Morton and Gordon Sinclair. Those are the people that helped mold me and Polo.
Yeah.
And
Jackie's running a place up in New Buffalo.
Yeah, they're just good people, if
I can say it, you come from very good stock up there. Dave Samber.
Yeah. So
Dave Samber runs, you can get a bunch of information by going to thepoloinn.com. I'm not going to spell it for you. It's thepoloinn.com. When we come back after the news with Steve Ruxton, you might be able to hear from maybe not Dave's brother Michael, who's sitting here and is an incredibly nice guy, but his son, the violin-playing Bentley, May have a word. I'm going to ask Bentley how your food is, Dave, because it's been a long time since I had it. It's 5:30. Dave Sandberg will be on when we come back. And now here with the news, Steve Ruxton. My guest, Dave Sandberg, came into the studio a while ago, half hour or so ago, with his brother Michael, who's in to help him during the holiday season. Nice guy, too. And his son, Bentley, who not only gave me a violin concert before the show went on, but is sitting here and ready to tell me, Bentley, okay, you heard your dad talk about how great his food is and how great the old Eagle Room is. Is he telling the truth?
Yeah, he is.
What's your favorite meal at the Polo?
Probably salmon and couscous. I've had it for the last two nights because I think it's very good.
Do you ever play the violin? Does your dad make you play the violin for diners in the place?
He doesn't make me. I decide to.
Oh, how neat. How long have you been playing? How old are you now?
I'm 9 years old.
9 years old?
So I've been playing for 6 years.
You're very good.
6 years.
You're very, very good. I may ask you, because we got a few more minutes with your dad. Do you want to play for the audience listening? No.
No.
No, Rick, you idiot. You can say that. No, Rick, you idiot.
No, Rick, you idiot.
No, don't say that.
That's perfect. You can say that. Rick, you idiot. What are you, violin music on WGN? Are you crazy? But you must love, you must love the old Eagle Room. And also, Dave, there's a bed and breakfast there, too, right?
Yeah, there is.
Aren't those rooms cool? I think they're cool.
Yeah, the Mayor Suite is very cool. The Sox Suite is that the one you live in, Uncle Mike? Yeah.
Uncle Mike is in the Sox Suite.
He's in the Sox Suite, yeah. That's the one I like the most, though. The Mayor Suite is okay, but I like the Sox Suite more.
Do you like you're a big White Sox fan? You live in Bridgeport.
Actually, no.
No?
I like Sox, but I also like Cubs. That's
you do.
The thing.
Wow, this used to be the Cubs station.
And I also like the Cardinals.
Oh no, they're gonna throw you out of the station. Brett Jackson's gonna
That's
come
Uncle
in here.
Mike too.
Brett's gonna come in here and throw you out the station. Or Dan Hampton or Ed Obradovich will come in, or Mark Carmen will come in and throw you out.
That works for the
Dave. How the bed and breakfast? We haven't even mentioned that much. You can stay on the air. You can keep talking, but you decided at some point to use the rooms upstairs to make a bed and breakfast. What was the compelling factor for that?
So, being the real estate developer over the years, in 2006, the real estate was really soaring in Bridgeport. I mean, every week was doubling, it seemed like. So I thought, well, maybe, and I wasn't a really good landlord. I was spending more time in the restaurant rather than trying to rent up and rent up and fix up and rent up and take applications. And I just wasn't, and I really needed I needed the money, but on the other hand, so I thought, what else could I do? And so with the property, and I thought, well, condo maybe that was on my background, but those rooms are too small, and I'd have to put in central heating and air conditioning to be competitive.
Yeah,
and I'd ruin the beautiful ceilings and woodwork, and so that really was not a good idea.
No.
And then I thought, well, maybe a bed and breakfast. What would be involved with that? Since we're a restaurant, and I live in the building, of course, on the top floor, and so what would be involved? Well, I found out that the zoning for that land was already in place for a bed and breakfast.
Wow.
I hope they're all listening, but I realized that in this town, if you don't need a lawyer or an alderman to get something done, do it now. Quick. Run. Get it over with.
No matter what it is.
No matter what it is. Yeah. And because it's a real advantage then to get it done.
To fast track.
Right.
Yeah.
So we closed for 2 years.
Yeah, that was
and during
bad.
That time, I put in all new furnaces. I mean, I really upgraded everything and then decorated. And then
you themed the suites.
Yes.
They're all actually suites.
Yeah. They're the apartments.
As Bentley was saying, the White Sox suite and the Mayor's
suite. The Sox suite,
Well,
it was very good.
It was the fun of it was to try to accessorize in such a way that would be withstand wear and tear and on. But it also had to be somewhat authentic. And so I'll tell you real fast. The most difficult thing for me to find for the bed was the bed for the Mayor's suite. That had and my criteria was had to be a king size bed, had to be a wooden bed, and it had to be a poster of some sort.
Uh-huh.
And I looked and looked and looked and looked. And I went to every suburban furniture store and went through every ad. And on the internet in those days was just starting to give. They give you free shipping if you order by 2 o'clock in the morning. Well, the long and the short was, as I was walking through the clearance department of Value City in near the airport, near Midway, I saw the tops of finials to these posters, beds. And I went inside, and I knew immediately when I saw the headboard that I had found the exact right, because on the back of the headboard are four starbursts. And I said, those are the four stars of Chicago. It was a cherry wood with four posters, and I knew I had found it. So that was it. So when Rich was there in 2010, for a Christmas party for the family, and I said, could you come up real fast? I'd like to show you the mayor's sure. He had already heard about it and seen pictures. So when he came upstairs, I showed him, and I told him the story about the bed and everything else. And there's lots of memorabilia that he recognized away. A great picture that Jackie Harrison, the artist, did of his father from 1968. Oh, it was a magnificent oil. I told him, I said, I know you and Maggie will never sleep here, but could you sort of, and he took his hip and he sort of bumped the bed a couple times, and he said, Dave, is that enough? I said, you just gave me the story that I'll keep forever. So
it's
thank
like christening
so thank,
a ship.
Exactly.
That's so perfect.
Dave Samberg, so, you are one of Chicago's great characters and great people. Seriously, what you've done down there is amazing. I can absolutely vouch for the food at the Polo Inn, as Bentley just did.
Yeah, it was really good. Yeah,
and also the old Eagle Room for any kind of event. You just got to go see this place. I mean, it's wintertime, but it's a nice time to take a little trip down there. What are the restaurant's hours these days?
So we're closed on Mondays and Tuesdays.
Yeah,
and then Wednesday, Thursday, we're open from noon until 6:30. And then on Friday and Saturday, we are open noon until 8. And on Sunday, we have our gospel brunch from 10 until 2. And next Sunday, we'll be open from 10 until 3 for our 10:30 till 3 for our special Twas the Brunch 5 days before the night before Christmas.
I love that.
An annual tradition.
And you might hear, I know that you will probably hear Dave Samberg sing, accompanied by the fabulous organ that's in that room. Michael, I don't know if you perform anything. What do you do?
I do not.
He does not. I do not either. Michael is much like me. But I don't know. Maybe someone will twist Bentley's arm and get him to put a violin under his chin and play. Yes?
I do.
Yeah, I mean, will you maybe play next Sunday?
Yeah.
Yeah,
I will.
Sure.
In between your eating salmon.
Right? Yeah. I always do. I actually did it today, too.
Yeah. Well, so for last minute Christmas gifts,
we
ship and we deliver. Our cookies and Linderball chocolate trays have been around for over 30 years, and they're obviously popular, and we continue to keep that up as a tradition.
You are, Dave Samberg, vital part of Chicago.
Yeah,
you get all sorts of information, not too much about Bentley, but he's been introduced to you now. But go to thepoloinn.com for all sorts. Take a look at the menu. And then take a look at what kind of gifts you might be able to buy for Christmas, too. And take a look at the Old Eagle Room, too. It's a remarkable place in the heart of Bridgeport.
We call it the motto that we've kept up with all these years, all these 37 years, is something different, something wonderful.
That
works.
That describes you,
works.
Too.
Thanks.
Michael, it's a pleasure to meet you. Michael and I met each other sometime a long time ago, but I forgot because I had been drinking.
God.
I know. Oh, my God, yourself. Bentley, it's great to meet you, man. I've been seeing your pictures. I've watched you grow up kind of on Facebook. Merry Christmas.
You too.
Yeah,
David, Merry Christmas.
Great to see you
and your family.
Great
Thank
to see you.
To everybody. Merry Christmas,
great to
Chicago.
See you guys. Again, thepoloinn.com. I'm not going to insult you people by spelling that for you. You want to say something else?
Yeah.
Go ahead. Say it here.
I just want to say, guys, no more racism or hatred for black people or Mexican people, because nowadays, please, people, racism is just not good for us. The earth, it's not good for us. Please don't litter, don't do anything like that, and bye.
Wow, there's a message for you, ladies and gentlemen. We'll be back in a couple minutes.